The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. In the Beatitudes, Jesus provides a new, unique description of those who are blessed with God's favor. His teaching is surprising and shocking to those who seek wealth, fame, and control over others. I begin reading at verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a festival Sunday. It is All Saints Sunday. In the past, many years ago, All Saints Day, which is actually on November 1st, used to be celebrated as one of the big festivals within the church. It would be on about the same level as Christmas or Easter even, as people would come and they would flock to the church for the festivities of All Saints Day. Today we don't quite do it that way anymore, but what we do on this day is we do remember all of those within our congregation who have gone on to the church triumphant this past year. We remember the saints. But that brings us to a question then. Who are the saints? What do you think of when you think of saints? Now, right now we are in the middle of a football season, and some of you who are avid fans, maybe the first thing that comes to mind are the New Orleans Saints. And who knows, maybe some of them really are saints. But on the other hand then, when we think of saints, a lot of times we go back to biblical times and we think of those people who surrounded Jesus, who were close to him, some of the first leaders of the new church that started out of. Maybe his disciples like St. John or St. Andrew or St. Thomas or maybe even our namesake, St. Paul. Those who were around Jesus, those who started the church back in biblical times. And they certainly were saints, but it goes beyond that. Or maybe you think of saints as those that the church has named as saints. Those people who have done great or wonderful things in the past, and they have been canonized, and they are called saints, such as St. Thomas Aquinas, or St. Augustine, or St. Francis of Assisi. Those people that we remember that have done great things in the past. And they certainly are saints too. But it goes on even further than that. Maybe you think of saints when we say you are a saint or someone who does very good things or someone who is a very good person, who is always loving and caring. Maybe somebody like your grandma who's always there for you, who's ready to soothe your hurts and help you along and help you with cookies, or she bakes wonderful bread, or she feeds all the dogs and the cats in the neighborhood. Just a great person. And we think of those kind of people as saints. And many of those really are saints. But in the Lutheran Church, we even go beyond that. We call saints everyone who has been baptized and believes. All of us gathered here today are saints. That may surprise a few people. If you go out this week, if you go back to work, or you go back into your neighborhoods or to your families, and you start telling people, "I'm a saint," what kind of looks are you going to get? But we are saints. We truly are saints. It's not because of all the good and wonderful things that we have done, but it's because of all the good and wonderful things that Jesus Christ has done for us. It was in baptism that our sainthood has come to us. And as it says here in our first lesson from Revelations, these are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's what Christ has done for us. As he went to that cross, as he took our guilt, as he took our punishment upon himself, and he died on that cross, making us whole, making us righteous, making us worthy to be back in relationship with God once again, making us worthy to be saints, to be called saints. And we certainly are the saints because of what Christ has done for us. But as I say that, there's something else to remember too, that we still live within a sinful world, that our lives are not completely pure and holy. We do mess up. We do sin. We do reject God from time to time. And thus, at this time, as we are living here on this earth now, we are both saint and we are sinners, because we do sin each and every day. We are both saints and sinners. And what's really interesting then is that our gospel lesson this morning, the Beatitudes, it's probably one of the most familiar scripture passages, or at least one of the most familiar scripture passages in the Bible. But it also speaks to the fact that we are both saints and sinners at the same time. There's a little bit different way of reading these. Rather than saying, blessed are whoever, another way of looking at that is saying, the living saints are. And we're going to look at these Beatitudes this morning, and you may want to follow along with your sheets, with your Bible passage. Verse 3, it says, the living saints are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Each of the Beatitudes have something to speak about as far as our condition in this world today. Our condition in the world today is that we are as sinners. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. It came in, and death followed sin. It's because of death, it's because of sin that we do have death in the world. Because every time we do sin, we are saying, God, I don't need you anymore. And when we cut ourselves off from God, we are cutting ourselves off from life. We are poor in spirit from time to time. We live in a sinful world, and there are sinful things that happen to us. Many times it's because of our own fault. It's because of our own sin. We know that we have messed up. We know that we have hurt other people. We know that we have broken our relationship with God, and that will make us poor in spirit. Sometimes it's because other people have done bad things to us that make us poor in spirit. Sometimes it's out of anybody's control. It's just simply the way that things are in our broken world today. We become downcast. We become poor in spirit. But like I said, we are both saint and sinner at the same time. And there is hope within these Beatitudes. And this one, the hope here is, it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So even though we may be sinners at this point, and we become poor in spirit, there is hope for us. There is still joy. Even though we are poor in spirit, there is still joy for us, because it says that we will have heaven, that we will be a part of that in eternal life. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Or the living saints are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We do mourn. We grieve the loss of our loved ones. And this morning, as we read through those names of all those members who have died this past year, we realize what we do miss, because many of those people on our list have been good leaders within this church. They have done wonderful things for this congregation and maybe for you personally. For many, they are relatives of yours, close relatives of yours. Maybe more distant relatives. They are friends. They are fellow workers with us in this kingdom of God. And they will very much be missed, and so we mourn their death. As I mentioned earlier, we live in a sinful world, and because of sin in this world, death too has come into this world. That is the punishment of sin. But that's not the last word. We are both saint and sinner. And it says here, there is the promise then that we will be comforted. And that's more than just saying, oh, that's okay, that's fine. It means that we'll actually, once again, be in the joy of Jesus Christ. We'll be in the joy of knowing that these saints have been raised from the dead. Verse 5, the living saints are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When we think of somebody who is meek, we think of somebody maybe who's quiet, who's shy, who kind of holds back, who doesn't exert themselves. But meek can go even further than that. Meek can be someone who is compassionate, someone who cares, someone who really does love other people and want to see their well-being restored, that these people do not want to cause trouble and strife, but they want to see a better world than what it is today. The living saints are those who are meek, those who have compassion, those who care, for they will inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Have you ever really been thirsty? You may be gone all day long and you ran out of water or something to drink, but you can't quite get back to where you need to be to get some water or something to drink, and you're parched. And really the only thing that you can think about is getting something to drink. Or maybe you're hungry. Maybe you missed a meal or two, or maybe there wasn't enough food to sustain you, or maybe you're coming out of a fast. You are hungry, and that becomes your top priority of finding good, nutritious food to fill yourself with. Think about being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. What has gone on in your life to make you so hungry and thirsty that is what you think about? Again, we live in a sinful world. Bad things happen to us. We do bad things to ourselves and to others. But what would it mean if we truly were hungry and thirsty for righteousness? For they will be filled. God fills us up. Again, that promise. That we will be made full. That we will be at that feast with God forever. That we will no longer thirst. That we will no longer be hungry. But Christ will fill us up. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. You know, it's tough to be merciful. You know, the first thing we want to do when somebody does wrong against us is lash back and give it to them even more. But to be mercy is more than just to react to somebody. Again, this plays much to the meek side as well then too. Of someone who is merciful, wants to, really does care for that other person. They want to see that other person change. They want to see that other person make up for the wrong that they did and not do that wrong anymore. But to show them love, to show them compassion in what they do. And the promise here then, for they will receive mercy. Verse 8, the living saints are those who are the pure in heart. For they will see God. Again, this one's almost impossible for us because we are sinners. It's hard for us to be pure in heart, but that is something that we can strive for as Christians. We do know the importance of following Christ, of being His disciples, of living in the Word. And as we do that, it helps us to become more and more pure in heart. We no longer desire those things which are not good for us, those things that go against God's will. We no longer desire those things when we become pure in heart. We become deeper in faith. And as we become deeper in faith, we do see God. We start to see God in other people. We're more attuned to that. We can see God in many things, but we see God in each other. And hopefully people can see God within us. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers are more than just people who come between two parties that are fighting or warring. Peacemakers are those who bring the peace of Christ. When Christ was with his disciples at different times or different places, he would say, "Peace be with you." And it's more than just saying, "I hope you're not fighting anymore," but rather it brings a wholeness to us. It gives us, once again, a worthiness to be with God. Our well-being is made whole in Christ Jesus. And there is a peace that no matter what happens to us, no matter what other people do to us, we are able to handle that and put that into perspective that this world is only temporary. That these things, these terrible things here on this earth will not last, but there is a better life that is still waiting for us. We are called children of God. The living saints are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Verse 11 is much similar to this one. The living saints are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Have you ever been persecuted for your faith? Have you ever had any trouble come your way because you were faithful or because you witnessed or you let other people know that you are a Christian and that you believe in Jesus Christ? For us as Americans, it doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen. We may be ridiculed sometimes. Other people say, "Why in the world are you going to church? Don't you have better things to do?" For many people, they do struggle even to come to church, to be here, to be in worship and give praise and thanks to God. But here in the United States, we have freedom of religion. And so it's not such a big, not too many of us are truly persecuted. But across this world, there are many people who are persecuted for their faith. In Eastern Africa, as the Christian church starts to take hold, many of those areas over there are Muslim, and the Muslims are retaliating. They're burning down churches. They are killing people. They are torturing people because they are Christians. In other places across the world, too, Christianity is illegal. There are people right now at this very moment sitting in jail, rotting in jail, because they confess Jesus Christ. Other people are on death row because they have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's happening today. People are being persecuted for their faith. But again, there is that promise. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For us, on this All Saints Day, we remember those saints who have gone before us. We also think of those saints who are still yet to come. And we also take hope in the fact that God has called us saints, that he has called us into his kingdom to be his children. The living saints are us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.